I'd like to welcome everyone to this session this morning on interventions focusing on adolescents from sexual health to HPV vaccination. And we have five talks in this session, and the way we're going to do this, as has been done in previous sessions, we'll have all of the talks, and then after the last talk, we'll invite all the speakers to come up for a question and answer period at the end. So I'd like to introduce our first speaker, who is Greta Klingler from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, who will be talking on Just Talk About It, Changing Sexual Health Conversations in Colorado through BeforePlay.org.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to start talking about the Before Play campaign in Colorado. It's part of a bigger initiative really targeting long-acting reversible contraceptive and reducing unintended pregnancy in Colorado, but you'll see in just a second why I'm here at the STD conference talking to y'all. So I've been part of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment for about 6 years, working on the Colorado Initiative to Reduce Unintended Pregnancy. As I mentioned, the Before Play campaign is a part of this larger initiative throughout the state. BeforePlay.org is targeted at Coloradans age 18 to 29, really reaching across the state. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Colorado, we have very large urban areas along the Front Range of the Rocky Mountains, as well as a number of frontier and rural counties. And for those of you who aren't familiar with frontier counties, that's even less population than rural counties. So we had a big kind of target audience to talk about and make sure that we resonated and reached all of them. The goal of the campaign is to normalize the conversation about sexual health and well-being throughout Colorado. What we found through a number of different efforts, both clinical and outreach-based, was that people had a really hard time talking about sexual health, talking about pregnancy prevention, talking about STD prevention. They just weren't comfortable. They didn't talk to their friends. They didn't talk to their family. They didn't talk to their partners. They didn't talk to their healthcare providers. So we wanted to come up with something that really targeted this slightly older demographic and to look at sexual health holistically, recognizing that pregnancy prevention is inextricably linked to STD prevention, is linked to sexuality, is linked to pregnancy planning, all of these issues. So we wanted to address them all. And it was also important as we started talking to people in this demographic to make sure that we came up with a voice that resonated with them. They wanted something that was funny, that was edgy, that was catchy, but they also knew was very reliable. So we came up with images, messaging, all of this that we tested with the target demographic. And I'll note that we chose 18 to 29 specifically because we saw high incidence rates of unintended pregnancy and STD prevalence among this population. And from the pregnancy prevention side of things, there's a lot of stuff out there that focuses already on teen pregnancy prevention. And we wanted to make sure that we were targeting this slightly older group, because that's where we really see the numbers and the impact. So the campaign was really based using the socio-ecological model and looking at social norming and social cognitive theory, recognizing that people are going to take action when something is normalized, is part of their daily lives, as they see it in behaviors of their peers, of their family. And so we really tried to look at how we could spread throughout the population and really get this message out there, get people talking about it, get people comfortable with these ideas and conversations. So we, as I said, we talked to people in the target demographic as we developed the campaign, coming up with messaging. We used online surveys, paper surveys, focus groups, again, throughout the state, making sure that we targeted kind of all political aspects, we got urban, rural, frontier, all demographics that we were really included there. And one of the most interesting things to note is that we got the message over and over that it was important to have the health department's name on it because it lent credibility to the campaign. We were actually kind of surprised at that. We were ready to have the health department be a very behind-the-scenes player in this, thinking that people didn't want the government all up in their business with this stuff. And we heard exactly the opposite. So as I said, sexual health is a big, complex, integrated issue, and we wanted to make sure that we addressed kind of all the different facets of it, and it has worked out very well for us, as I will talk to you in just a minute. So we really work through the campaign to be integrated throughout a number of media channels, both online and traditional. So we have the kind of foundation of the campaign is our website, which is pretty simple. We partnered with Bedsider. I don't know if any of you are familiar with them, to use some of the clinic locator functionality that they had. We didn't have to rebuild it, and some of their content that we took and repurposed and put in our own voice, but it was very helpful, and it was a wonderful partnership there. We have a blog. We have a presence on Facebook, on Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, Google+. We have a text line. We've done programming both on online radio through Pandora, as well as some local sports radio stations, TV, and then print and online publications. And I have some handouts up here at the end. If anybody wants to see a little bit more about how we're involved in each of those different channels, you can get some information on that. And through this all, we've really used online analytics to look at engagement, see how people are interacting, see what works, what doesn't work, and change our strategy over time to make sure we're engaging in the best way possible. So this is just an example of what the homepage of our website looks like. Let's see, we're not advancing here. We're stuck for a minute. Oh, there we go. So let me back up. Oh. Now we went too far. Okay. I think we're back. So this is an example of our Facebook page here. We have we've had really, really great success with Facebook engaging people, getting people to actually have conversations online about sexual health topics. And this is an example of our Pinterest page. And Pinterest and Instagram, a little bit less so Twitter, have been really interesting to kind of play around with and see how it works, see what people, what works to resonate there, what people respond to. And then I'll just make a note with Google+. The only reason we use Google+ is because it enhances our search engine optimization. There's zero engagement there. There's not really anybody in our target audience there, but it's important for the actual like online strategy and where we pop up in searches. So that's why our presence, just a little note there. So next, this is just a look at our Facebook fan growth over time. So we've used different mechanisms throughout, trying to kind of reach that critical mass where all of a sudden we did have people engaging. It took a while. We used some different strategies. We actually had some sweepstakes contests, giving away concert tickets and things for people to enter. They didn't have to actually like the page, but they had to come to our page, which then translated into a number of different engagement strategies. So it was really great. And then this is our YouTube views over time. We had some TV commercials that we started running on television that we then posted on YouTube and actually got way more engagement than we got from the actual TV spots. So it was a great example of repurposing different media. This is kind of a look at our website use. On average, people visit 4.5 to 5 pages on our site each time they visit. They stay there for about 3 to 4 minutes. And since the launch, we've had almost 1 million unique views, which is really great. There's a lot of analytics tools out there. We use Google Analytics. It's free. It's super easy to use, which I can say because I'm like the most untechie person ever and I can do it. And then talking about finding the voice with our campaign. We really wanted to make sure we had a dynamic content strategy, listening to our users and the people we were reaching out to redevelop what we're doing. So we used Google Analytics. We used feedback that we get through our Facebook page, through the text line to inform the content that we generate. So we look at what search terms people are using that's bringing them into the site, which I'll let you know, our top 20 search terms are all STD related. It has nothing to do with birth control. It has nothing to do with pregnancy planning or sexuality. But what we found was using those terms could bring people in, and then based on how we set up the site, we could get them to go to the other pages. So they were there searching for STD information, but once they were there, they were interested in looking at the other stuff too. And then a lot of stuff has been trial and error, so, you know, seeing what works, what doesn't, and changing strategy based on that. So you can see these are some examples of particularly successful posts and content that we've generated. So I will wrap up with, again, just using the feedback that you can get through online analytics, making sure that that helps generate the content that you're using. And it doesn't end with a like. Look at what people are saying, what people are sharing, and go from there. And I would advance to the last slide, but it's not advancing for me. But I'll pass it over to the next person.
Great.